Imagine if you could really truly master AI, not, as a coder or some deep learning researcher, but just as someone who uses it.
Yeah, someone who actually weaves it into their daily life, their work, making it more than just like a buzzword, a real tool.
Exactly. And well, that's why we're pretty excited today. We're diving into this fantastic new guide, AI Black Belt, 10-step guide to AI mastery for everyone. It just came out in 2025 from Praxio Tech Publications.
And it's really not your typical dense technical manual, which is honestly such a relief.
Oh, totally. It hits the nail on the head for people who are, and I'm quoting here, smart enough to realize you don't need to be an AI expert to lead, create, teach, or build in an AI world.
Right. That promise, it really jumps out because who has time to become an expert in everything?
Nobody. So the book promises to teach you how to speak AI fluently enough to ask smart questions and get useful answers.
And how to create things, words, images, music, code, with the help of tools that don't sleep.
Oh.
That part's pretty wild.
It is. And even collaborating with machines that, can mimic creativity or judgment.
Yeah.
It sounds like science fiction, but the book makes it feel achievable. It's about building confidence, fluency.
Yeah, real power in using these tools.
And what I really loved, what makes this guide feel different, is this whole AI dojo idea.
Yeah, the belt system. White belt, yellow belt, all the way up.
Right. It frames it as a journey. You get better through practice, persistence, and I love this bit, a little bit of defiance.
It makes it feel less like studying and more like, well, training, like learning a skill.
Exactly. And the book's message is loud and clear. AI isn't coming. It's here. But then it says, mastering AI isn't about code or circuits. It's about courage. That really hit me.
That's a great mindset shift. It's not about the tech specs. It's about your willingness to engage.
So our mission today for you listening is to unpack this thing, pull out the key ideas, the really practical steps. We want to help you feel ready to, step into that AI ring, be a maker, not just someone watching from the sidelines.
Let's start earning that white belt then.
Okay, first things first, white belt, laying the foundations. What is generative AI, like in simple terms?
Well, the book puts it really nicely. It calls it a kind of computer model that makes stuff.
Stuffly.
Text, pictures, music, code, even video now. Basically, it works by guessing what comes next based on patterns it has seen before.
Okay.
They even say it's like a giant autocomplete, but with ambition issues, which I thought was pretty funny.
That's good. And the book has this analogy, right, about describing a cat.
Oh, yeah. That one's brilliant. Imagine you're describing a cat, fluffy, four legs, pointy ears, judges you to a friend who's like never, ever seen one.
Right.
And then your friend tries to draw it and comes back with this weird combination of a raccoon, a dog, and their cousin's judgmental toddler.
Okay, I can picture that.
That's kind of how generative AI works. It's
creating
something new based on the patterns and descriptions it learned. Not just recalling, but synthesizing.
So it's different from like older AI that just identifies things.
Exactly. The book contrasts them. Old AI might say, that's a picture of a cat. Generative AI says, here's a picture of a cat riding a bicycle through a field of existential dread.
A big difference. So how does it actually learn to do that? Is it magic?
Huh? Not quite magic, just a lot of data and math. The book simplifies it like this. Show the model 1,000 examples. Ask it to guess something. Tell it it's wrong. Adjust some math. Repeat 900,000 times.
Wow. Okay, so massive repetition and correction.
Basically, yeah. And here's the really cool part for everyone listening. The book stresses, AI doesn't care about your resume. It only cares about what you ask it.
That's empowering. Your background doesn't matter as much as your curiosity and how you interact with it.
Exactly. That's your starting line.
So where are most of us likely bumping into this stuff first?
Probably chatbots. Definitely chatbots. The book defines them super simply. A computer program designed to talk with you.
They're everywhere now. On websites and apps.
Yep. And their main job is to process your words, turn them into math, basically, and then guess what a helpful reply would be.
But the book makes a really important point about what they aren't, right?
Crucial point. They are not a person, not a therapist, not conscious. They're just really good guessers trained on a lot of human text.
So don't mistake the fluent conversation for actual understanding or feeling.
Precisely. Knowing that helps you use them better. They can help you learn stuff, write essays, fix code, plan dates, maybe even overthink life choices, as the book jokes.
Okay, good to know. So we talk to these chatbots or other AI tools through what? How does that connection happen?
Through the interface. That's the bridge. The book calls it How Humans Talk to Machines Without Needing a Translator Who Speaks Matrix.
Huh. Nice. So the screen, the chat box, the buttons, that's the interface.
Exactly. And it's super important because the actual AI brain lives in a server farm somewhere. And it's massive, complex, unfriendly to humans.
Right. You wouldn't want to plug directly into that.
Probably not. The interface is that magical middle ground. It's the reason you're able to use the AI without crying.
A very important reason. And a good one.
A good interface hides the complexity,
yeah.
Helps you be specific, and you know, keeps the vibe friendly, makes the power usable.
Okay, foundation's laid. We know what it is, how we talk to it. Now, getting good results, that brings us to the yellow belt. Prompt engineering.
Ah, yes, the art of the ask. Prompt engineering is, according to the book, the practice of carefully crafting your input to an AI model so it gives you a better, more useful output.
It's not just what you ask, but how you ask it.
Precisely. The book's recipe example is perfect. Ask, make food, and you get, well, maybe ketchup on toast called avant-garde.
Sounds unappetizing.
Right. But ask for a step-by-step recipe for a quick vegetarian dinner using ingredients from a college dorm fridge. Add humor.
And you get
something like, step one, remove the suspicious yogurt. It has seen things. Step two, locate tortilla. It is your canvas.
Much better, right?
Way better. So why does that difference in the prompt work so well? Because the AI fundamentally doesn't understand your intent like a human does. It's just predicting the next likely word based on its training.
Okay.
So you have to do the heavy lifting, be clear, be specific, set the tone, give examples, tell it exactly what kind of pattern to follow.
Got it. And there was something called vibe coding.
Yeah. That's more of an intuitive, improvisational approach. Less strict rules, more feeling it out, especially for like art, humor, chaos. Sometimes you just got to play.
So prompt engineering is really the key skill here for non-coders.
Absolutely. It turns the AI from meh to wow.
Okay, but sometimes things go weird. Let's talk about hallucinations. That sounds alarming.
It can be. The book defines hallucination as when a language model generates false, made up, or misleading information that sounds plausible, but isn't grounded in reality.
It just makes stuff up. Confidently.
Confidently is the key word. Like the example they gave, ask who discovered gravity. And it might spit out, gravity was discovered in 1769 by Professor Benapple Gearsworth at the University of Skyfall.
Professor Benapple Gearsworth. I like him. But obviously not real.
Obviously not.
Yeah.
And it happens because, again, these models are pattern matchers trained on huge piles of human text. They're not fact checkers. They just guess what sounds like a plausible continuation.
So how do you spot these things?
Look for tells. Does it give a super confident answer to a really obscure question? Does the answer sound right, but you can't verify it anywhere? Does the source it cites, you know, vanish when you Google it?
Right. Red flags.
Definitely. And understanding this is vital. It means AI needs humans to verify, guide, and double check what it says. You can't just trust it blindly.
Okay. That's a critical safety check. Which leads nicely into another technique, chain of thought prompting, making the AI show its work.
Exactly. Chain of thought, or COT, is a method where you encourage the AI to reason step by step instead of jumping straight to an answer.
Like in math class.
Kind of. The book uses that classic train leave Chicago math problem.
Yeah.
Just ask the question, maybe the AI blurts out a wrong number, like 42. But add think step by step to your prompt. And it changes. It starts breaking it down. Okay, let's figure out the travel time for each train, then compare distances. Now we can see where they meet.
Ah, so you see the logic or lack thereof.
Precisely. It forces the model to use the reasoning patterns it learned during training. It makes the output safer, smarter, and more explainable. Turns it from a blurt machine into a logical thought engine.
That sounds incredibly useful, especially for complex tasks.
And you can combine it with other techniques like prompt chaining for even more complex multi-step workflows.
Okay, let's shift gears. We've got the basics. We know how to prompt. Now let's talk about making things with AI, the application belts, starting with text to image.
This is where it gets really fun, I think. Text to image models are AIs that take a written description and generate a completely new image that matches what you described.
It's like magic. You type a fluffy dog wearing sunglasses surfing a rainbow and it appears.
Pretty much. Or the book's examples. A cozy cabin in the woods at sunset with smoke rising. Or an octopus playing chess with a robot. You describe it, it draws it.
How does it even do that?
It often uses a process called diffusion. basically starting with random noise like static on a TV and gradually refining it, using your text prompt as a guide to shape that noise into the image you described.
Wow. And the uses.
Endless. The book lists, posters, logos, fantasy maps, memes, concept art, book covers. Basically, if you can describe it, you can probably generate it. It's a huge creative unlock.
Okay, that's visual. What about audio? We're doing a deep dive here. Can AI help with something like this? Automated podcasts.
You bet. The book talks about this specifically. An automated podcast is defined as a fully AI-generated audio experience.
Fully AI, like no humans.
Well, you provide the input, right, the ideas, but the AI can analyze source material, like a document or article, then generate a compelling human-style conversation script based on it.
A script, okay.
Then it can synthesize natural-sounding voices, maybe like ours, maybe different, and output a full episode, hosted by AI, powered by your content.
So how does that work in practice?
You might upload, say, a long blog post or a research paper. You prompt the AI, make this a 10-minute discussion between two hosts, one enthusiastic, one skeptical. It writes the script. Then you feed that script into a voice synthesis tool, and bam, instant audio episode.
That's kind of amazing and potentially useful for what kind of stuff?
All sorts. Think long-form blog posts, internal memos or strategy docs, educational materials, research papers, anything text-heavy that could benefit from an audio format. It's like podcasting without podcasting.
Mind blown a little bit. Okay, let's move to the black belt. Bring it all together. Advanced stuff. AI agents. What are those?
Agents are the next step up from just getting answers or content.
Mm-hmm.
An AI agent, as the book puts it, can take a goal or task, break it into steps, use tools, make decisions, adjust the plan, and finally, do the thing.
So it doesn't just suggest, it acts.
Exactly. The example given is great. Instead of just summarizing a long report, an agent could also match key points with each team member's focus area, then draft a personalized email for each person, and even ask, hey, looks like we need a follow-up meeting. Should I book it?
Whoa, that's different.
It's a big shift. The book says, AI used to be your calculator. Agents are more like your coworker.
A very efficient coworker, maybe.
Potentially.
Yeah.
And there are platforms emerging, like Manus, which the book mentions, designed for professional settings to do things like read documents, summarize meetings, draft content, track tasks. We're moving towards collaboration with AI, not just using it.
Okay, that's powerful. But with great power comes the need to talk about ethics. Bias in AI. This feels really important.
It's crucial. The book tackles it head on. Bias happens when an AI learns patterns that reflect unfair, unbalanced, or inaccurate realities from its training data.
So the AI isn't, like, deciding to be biased. It's learning it from us.
That's the core takeaway. The book gives examples like AI only recommending men for senior roles, or facial recognition working poorly for darker skin tones, or associating jobs with genders based on old stereotypes.
Oh, yeah.
The AI didn't make it up. It just learned it from us. And now it's repeating it at scale. It holds up a mirror to the biases in our own data, our own society.
That's a sobering thought, and it makes understanding bias absolutely critical.
Totally. Especially in a world where AI is writing, hiring, analyzing, and sometimes deciding.
Yeah.
We have to be aware of the reflection in that mirror.
Definitely. Okay, last section of the black belt, getting your hands dirty, open source software, GitHub, a llama. Building your own AI lab.
Yeah, this is the empowering DIY part. Open source software, or OSS, is basically software where the code is public. Anyone can read it, use it, modify it, share it, improve it.
Like a shared recipe book for software.
Good analogy. And GitHub is like the giant library or kitchen where these recipes are stored and worked on. The book calls it Dropbox for code, but with superpowers. Lots of AI models and tools live there.
Okay, so you can find AI tools on GitHub. What's a llama then?
A llama is super cool. The book calls it a super chill AI butler for your laptop. It lets you download and run large language models, LLMs, locally.
Locally, meaning on my own computer, not in the cloud.
Exactly. No cloud, no subscription, no stress. It's designed for one-line installs. It works offline, and you can run pretty powerful models even on, like, an average laptop.
That sounds incredibly accessible.
It really is. These tools together, OSS, GitHub, Llama, make it way easier to experiment. To go from, I wonder if I could, to, oh, wow, I just did. You can actually tinker and build your own AI setup.
That really brings it full circle back to the idea of mastery through practice.
Absolutely. And that leads us right to the end of our deep dive, summing up the whole philosophy of AI Black Belt.
Yeah, the core message really resonates. Mastery isn't about knowing everything up front. It's a choice, a practice, a posture. You don't wait to be called an expert.
Exactly. The book makes this point so well. The linchpin isn't the code or the prompt or the perfect output. The linchpin is you.
It's your curiosity, your willingness to try.
Your curiosity, your courage, your willingness to look silly while figuring it out. That's what matters. Mm. It's about being brave enough to experiment.
And the book reminds us AI is just the latest tool, right? Like the printing press or the internet, another lever to empower people.
Mm-hmm. And the final thought for you, the listener, is powerful. The future isn't written yet. You've just picked up the pen.
Wow. So the call to action is just start.
Pretty much. The book practically shouts it. Go, create the thing, run the experiment, write the story, launch the song, make the weird idea with AI that might not work. Because that's exactly what might make it remarkable.
So don't wait for permission. Don't wait for perfection. Just go make something.
That's the black belt mindset.
What will you create first? What's that weird idea you've been kicking around? Now might just be the time.